The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Are you crawling to the tree? They strung up a man, they say you are free. Strange things that happen to you, stranger would it be. We never had it, not in the hanging tree. Are you coming to the tree? I call my boy in love to you. Strange things that happen to the stranger.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Shasta Unmasked. This is Jessica.
And this is Shay.
This is our second show, so yay. Maybe you'll have to give us a little less grace this time. Today, our show is focused on exposing extremism. We are going to be discussing Stop Moms for Liberty, an organization that is based out of Florida and is nationwide, including here in Shasta County. And with us today, we have a guest, Liz Mkhitaryan, who is the founder of Stop Moms for Liberty. Are you here with us, Liz?
I sure am.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Congratulations on the show. That's terrific.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us so late, because I know it's already 9 o'clock there, so we really appreciate you taking the time to meet with us and being willing to jump on here and tell us all about the things that we need to know about Moms for Liberty.
I'm on speakerphone. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and explain to us how you got started in this venture and what you know about Moms for Liberty and what got you started with creating the movement Stop Moms for Liberty.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So I'm a retired educator and really thought that, you know, I would go away in my blissful retirement, but I am in the county in Florida where Moms for Liberty was developed. It was developed by three people, one of which was in my county, and she was defeated in her school board election. And then there was one from the next county over, and then Bridget Ziegler, who I think the nation has heard enough of her name for a while. And so those three got together, but Bridget Ziegler's husband was the chair of the Republican Party in the state of Florida. And he's actually quoted as saying, oh, great, this is going to be my boots-on-the-ground effort to get Republicans, or to get more Republicans, I should say, tap into that suburban mom demographic that maybe they hadn't been successful with. So we honestly, in our little county, did not take them very seriously. They would come to the school board meetings in their T-shirts and, you know, say, don't mask our children, and just, you know, kind of just real chaos producing.
Right.
But we didn't take it seriously. But almost overnight, because of those Republican connections, we believe, they grew into this huge national movement. They were almost overnight on things like the Steve Bannon show, coverage on Fox News, and, you know, just they rolled out very, very quickly. So we knew that it was never grassroots. It might have been their original meeting, but Bridget probably brought to the table, hey, this is going to be big.
Right.
So we didn't take them seriously. We, just refuted some of their stuff at the microphone, but then we saw what was unfolding. And so in my local area, there was a Facebook group that they had started, and it was public, so I was on there. And they would continually supply bad information to the people that were following them. And I would simply go on and just try to comment and say, hey, I spent my life in schools and, you know, either this isn't happening or, you know, this is really what's happening. I tried to be a voice of reason to try and pull back on some of that disinformation.
Well, that sounds familiar.
And, yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they, instead of having the discussions with me and honoring the fact that I was an educator and that I had been in classrooms, these people decided to call me groomer. they decided to say that I must be a supporter of pedophilia, and that's why, you know, I have the positions that I have in support of public schools. So, of course, I was a little upset at the beginning, and I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, why would someone attack a little old kindergarten teacher? And then I started getting angry, and I thought, wait a minute, are they attacking teachers everywhere? And I reached out across the state of Florida. Sure enough, I found that to be their mode of operation. And from Florida then, we grew into the movement that you see today. We're in 44 states, and we have probably 25,000 members.
Right.
So originally it was, you know, I was attacked, and I thought, oof, we've got to protect our teachers and have a support network. And I still, you know, have that as a large component of what we're working on. And we developed, they developed, Moms for Liberty came about in 2021, and we followed approximately a year later with the development of Stop Moms for Liberty. And yes, the name is negative, but the name is actually our mission statement. That's what we have set out to do from the very beginning. And so we unfolded in 2022, and we're making some good progress across the country. When we saw the elections of 2022, we saw them see a whole lot of school board members across the nation. It's, I think they were close to 300 or so.
Right.
And then we've seen a steady decline in the number of people that they are actually having win elections. And so we know that us getting the messaging out there about what they were really all about, which is not this grassroots parent complaint situation, it's a strategic attack on our public school system.
Yeah, we were talking about that, Liz, with they talk about not taking grants from the federal government or from the county because they want autonomy, and yet they have not come with a single original thought. Every policy brought to our board is a cookie cutter, you know, thing. It's directly from the Moms for Liberty mothership. Nothing is an original thought.
Absolutely. I don't know if you're following it, but in Sarasota, they just passed a resolution with their board, which is, Bridget Ziegler is part of that board, and they passed a resolution that they would ignore the changes to Title IX, which that could definitely cost federal funding into that county. And they don't care, number one, but the big power players that are involved in this that I can speak a little bit more about, but that's what they want. They want to defund our public school system. And so if they get these boards to say, oh, well, we don't want federal funding, I'm here to tell you that school systems cannot function without federal funding.
Right.
You're talking about all of your Title
One.
Yeah.
Public
all
education.
All of your Title One, all of your special needs services, you know, the IEP process, that is federal. And so, you know, when they say, oh, well, we're not going to take that money, it's foolish. And I think it's very much part of this script of how do we defund our public schools and make them go away.
Yeah. So, Liz,
it's a shame.
For the people that might not know about Moms for Liberty, they're listening tonight, can you tell us a little bit about what their agenda has been over the last couple of years? What are some things they've been doing across the nation?
Sure. Well, first of all, the I guess overall structure of Moms for Liberty is not really Moms for Liberty. It is a very strategic approach from far-right extremists that are pushing the country towards Christian nationalism, and it's some very deep pockets involved in the whole Moms for Liberty movement. And so they've been doing that for 30 years, right? I've been in education. They've been trying to privatize the public school system for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's never risen to this level before, but the power players behind this just simply realized that there was money to be made. So they're the ones that run the private schools. They're the ones that, you know, are going to benefit from this personally and financially. And so they see this push of alarming so many parents against the public school system, that will drive those parents right into their little profit-making ventures. And so that's what has pushed Moms for Liberty. So Moms for Liberty has, I don't know, they say they've got 100,000 members or something. I don't know. They don't really tell the truth all the time, so I won't refute or, you know, support that. So.
Okay, let's hold that thought for 1 minute. We do need to go to break.
Sure.
So we have so much good information. We'll be right back.
Okay, I'll be
here. Thank
you.
Will this hatred ever end? I wonder. And worry, my friend. I wonder. I wonder. Wonder, don't you?
Feel the pulse of excitement as the Reading Rodeo returns. Bucking by the River, May 15th to the 18th. Secure your place now with tickets exclusively available at ReadingRodeo.com. Experience where legends are forged and unforgettable memories created at the Reading Rodeo. Mark your calendars for May 15th to the 18th. Thank you to our sponsors, Reading Rancheria, Valero, and Ford. Don't let this opportunity slip away. Visit ReadingRodeo.com today.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here, and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner. Now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Reading on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Boo for the villain, cheer for the hero, sigh for the sweet young thing, and laugh your tail feathers off at foul play in French Gulch, a Western melodrama that the whole family will love. Don't be a chicken, wear your Western duds, and come on down to the Riverfront Playhouse in downtown Reading, May 9th through the 26th. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Sponsored by Cornerstone Community Bank, the Downtown Reading Cultural District, and this amazing station.
All right, welcome back, Liz. Are you there?
Oh. Can you hear me okay?
Uh-oh. Yes, now I can. There was a lag there for a minute. You might have a 7-second lag hearing us. Okay, so we're just going to jump right back into it. We want to play an audio, but we're trying to get that going. So
sure.
We're just going to let you continue where we left off.
Okay. Alrighty. So as I said, there's some deep pockets involved in why Moms for Liberty has risen to the level as they have. So what we have seen across the country, as I stated, it started in Florida, and they really came to public knowledge when they would go to school board meetings and they would fight against mask mandates.
Mm-hmm.
They made all kinds of claims about, you know, COVID not being real,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, people were overreacting and they wanted these schools to open immediately.
Yeah.
And as much as people saying, you know, we have to protect the employees and the other children, they weren't buying into that, right? It was this
mm-hmm.
big conspiracy that people were just trying to hurt parents, apparently, is what they were thinking.
Right.
So that then kind of morphed into a lot of the attack on CRT, and that attack was very well scripted by one individual, Christopher Rufo, who he has stated, I'm going to make everything about race into this boogeyman premise of critical race theory. And he knew darn well that critical race theory was not being taught in any school across the entire country.
Right, but if we start a culture war, then then you know, that's how the stuff gets going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're teaching our kids to, you know, be ashamed that they're white. We're teaching our kids that, you know, they should be ashamed of their country. And all of it is just not true, but that's how propaganda works, right? If they get it out there and they repeat it enough, then they get some followers.
Right.
So they did some, you know, attacks on CRT. They started having lots of issues against the LGBTQ plus community. And I know in my local district, it's kind of ironic because they would come to the microphone and scream and yell into the microphone that, you know, you're doing something horrible. And in essence, our actual policy was put in place by Tina Deskovich, one of the founders of Stop Moms for Liberty. So there's a lot of hypocrisy involved in everything that they've done. So it's the marginalized communities that they have fought against the most. So then fast forward to what I believe is probably the issue that will sink them.
Yeah.
More so than all the others. Want someone else to decide about what their children read. That's you know, in the 90s percentile of people that they don't want just some rogue group deciding for them.
Right.
And so the pushback, because of their attacks on books, has brought more people onto, I'll call it, our side of things. I can't even explain how our membership just blew up across the country when that issue came online. And people are furious about it. And it's so disingenuous. This is not an issue of parents being upset because their child came home with a book in their backpack that they didn't approve of. That's so far from the truth.
Right.
What's happening is they fuel this whole, I guess, chaos stance of, you need to be afraid of these books, and people are shoving these books down your throat. And they have developed a website called booklooks.org. So people don't even have to see the book or read the book. They go to that website and they pull up a salacious passage, and then they go to the microphone and they read it. And
because they're telling them what to be angry at, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Be angry at this.
And yeah, it's, you know, don't be upset because your child is impacted. Be upset because I'm telling you to be upset.
Right.
And that's just not, you know, I'm hoping that more and more parents will realize what are they actually doing for parents and asking that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because from what I've seen on the national level, I have not seen anything change for the positive because of Moms for Liberty's involvement. They came out the chute saying, we need to fight for parents' rights.
Mm-hmm.
There is not one case of parents getting rights through anything that Moms for Liberty has done. Parents already had everything in place that Moms for Liberty is saying, oh, you need to go and be able to look at the curriculum in your school, and schools shouldn't be able to hide it.
Yeah.
Schools have never hidden curriculum.
Yep.
It's always been accessible.
Yep, that's been our argument
just, you know,
at every board meeting.
Misinformed.
At our last one, we had someone stand up and say, if we accepted a grant, a community schools grant, that the next thing we would be doing is teachers would be offering abortions in the back of the cafeteria.
I mean, it's just not rational. It blows my mind. It's just like, oh, they're having gender reassignment surgery in a school setting.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, where do they come up with this stuff? And it's all based in fear, unjustifiable fear, and it's all strategic. So their whole push on the national level against the public school system is, we are going to make the school system look as bad as we can, whether it's truthful or not, and then people will be driven away from it. So this translates into the voucher programs or the educational savings accounts that we've seen grow all over the country. And what they don't say is that that really does not even benefit all students and families. Because, for example, in the state of Florida, they get about $8,000 either if they homeschool or if they want to place their child in a private school. Mm-hmm. There is no private school that is $8,000 a year and right. have it be that low an amount. So in essence, when you see vouchers, you know, folding out across the country, it's a kickback, more or less, to families that can already afford to have a private school setting. And I'm not convinced that a private school setting is any better than any public school setting. I don't see anything other than they can be exclusionary, and if you want to have your child not be with certain groups, certain marginalized people, mm-hmm. then that would be the strength of a private school. Now, I'm not downing private schools. I think they should exist because there's the freedom to do so. Mm-hmm. But when you take public money and you funnel that into a private setting, mm-hmm. that means you and I are paying for someone else's child.
Right, we're subsidizing somebody yeah. to go to public or private Absolutely. School instead of public school.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, yep.
And I'm not sure so they actually know what they're asking for in the long run. Like, without public education, what does our society look like? You know?
Exactly.
Like, without
well,
a free, fair public education.
I mean, they are because we're talking like the 1%ers are mm-hmm. the ones that are involved in this, these multi-millionaires and billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And their goal is to have a caste society, to have an upper echelon of people with all the money, of course, mm-hmm. who are educated, like the educated elite, you could call them,
mm-hmm.
and then have worker bees right. as the other group. And they don't care what kind of education. The less education actually make better worker bees sometimes, right?
Yeah.
If they're more informed, they, you know, would be more likely to fight back if they're being mistreated. So mm-hmm. that's the ultimate goal. I'm actually reading a book called Caste right now, and it really spells it out and how this is not like just invented by a few folks now. These are all strategies that have been used in the past to create division in society. And I won't go into it too much, but a lot is explained in Project 2025, mm-hmm. which is the Republican blueprint for what will happen if they elect Trump or any other future Republican candidates. And I'm not a Democrat, so I'm not being, you know, political slam here. I'm just telling you what it is. Project 2025 scares me to death. If people that are listening have not looked into that, please do so.
Mm-hmm.
It is built on something that's called the Seven Mountains Mandate, which is the white Christian nationalist takeover of the United States. And they've been working on this for quite some time. We're not talking about just run-of-the-mill, you know, everyday Christians or, you know, Christian leadership. We're talking about those that are part of white Christian nationalism because it's a whole separate thing. And the mandate is that they are, I think it's seven pillars that I'll call them of society, and they are to take over those pillars.
Mm-hmm.
There's like healthcare,
yep.
there's public service, you know, and education is one of those pillars that they would take over education.
So
well,
we,
in our case, and
oh,
yes.
I was just going to say that
yes.
we do know something about the Seven Mountains Mandate in our county. We'll yes. talk about that more with you later because
yes.
that's a whole other subject that we will tackle on the show at another time. But also,
yep.
the Christian nationalist piece takes us very nicely into our next segment, and
okay.
we're going to be going to commercial in just a minute. But when we get back, I do want to talk about Moms for Liberty in Shasta County, because there is a chapter
mm-hmm.
here. Also,
yep.
the Stop Moms for Liberty group that's in Shasta County, because we also have a chapter here. I want to talk about, I'm going to let listeners hear a video of one of the Moms for Liberty members okay. telling us exactly what their plan is for public education in Shasta County. And then I want to talk about how we can help combat that.
Mm-hmm.
So when
Sounds
we come
good.
Back, that's what we'll talk about. See you guys in just a couple minutes.
Thank you. something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Life is always easier when we make good decisions. Taking care of your vehicle with regular maintenance is a smart decision that will save you money. Going to Premier Oil Change for regular maintenance is another great decision and an easy way to maintain your new car warranty. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Come experience fast drive-through service with no appointment required. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And in Anderson, across from Roundtable, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change. Bodies floating, but you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Hello, welcome back to Shasta Unmasked, and we have Liz Mkhitaryan with us, who's the founder of Stop Moms for Liberty. We are talking about Moms for Liberty, and when we come back, we decided we were going to talk about the Shasta County chapter. And you might be wondering, what does all of this national news have to do with Shasta County? Well, there is a Moms for Liberty group here in Shasta County. They have done some things to attempt to infiltrate our school systems, and
They have infiltrated our
yes,
school system.
They have.
We have them right here mm-hmm. as board members.
Yes. So how this began for me was some time ago, the Gateway School school board was, in the last election, was taken over by an extremist group of candidates, kind of sneakily. They proposed that they were just mothers and fathers of children, and they wanted to just come help the children, and then they promptly proceeded to fire the superintendent and try and hire a new attorney that was related to other extremist ideals and all of these crazy things very fast in their very first board meeting against the community, telling them not to. And then after that, we started seeing similar things happening at Anderson Union High School District. And then, at the same time, I saw this video on Facebook of Arthur Gorman, who's an elected official in this county. He's a trustee on the SCOE, Shasta County Office of Education Board. And I just want to let you hear the video. This is kind of what got me fired up to figure out who is Moms for Liberty, because that was the T-shirt he was wearing, and what is actually happening right now.
Yeah, this is what got everybody fired up.
So go ahead.
Putting my kids into a public school, right? But my kids don't go to public school. They go to private school because I want them raised the way that I would want them raised. And I want people teaching them good, godly principles so they go to Christian school. Well, when all the Christians take their kids out of the public school, what do you think is left? You know? And so if we don't take back our responsibility and our rights and defend the kids in those school districts by becoming board members,
right.
We're going to get what we get.
And teachers.
Yeah, so like the teachers, it's almost like a mission field, you know?
Right.
Get good godly teachers in there, get good godly board members in there, and we can change policy, and we can change the culture, and we can hire a good godly superintendent of schools, and he can hire a good godly administrative staff, and we can buck the system.
Wow.
Wow is right. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So that, when you talk about Christian nationalism, I'm guessing this mm-hmm. is what you're talking about.
That is like the perfect example of what the plan is that's being laid out. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I mean, people that are, you know, wanting to have a godly nation, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Except for they can't do it in a public setting. Yeah. And that's what they are aiming to do right now.
Right.
And we have to fight that. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm not embarrassed to say it, and I share it often. But this isn't the Christianity that I know about.
No, this is what we've talked about.
And
so
it's
much
extremism.
I am so offended by all of his comments and by this mm-hmm. agenda, because not only do I identify as a Christian and was raised that way, but I mm-hmm. feel like they have hijacked Jesus. And they are using him
yeah.
as their mascot. And the rest of us Christians did not give them permission to do so. And we don't
yeah.
have, and Jesus can't be here to speak for himself on whether or not he thinks this is the right way to go. And as a
mm-hmm.
teacher, I'm offended because I went to school for 8 years to become educated enough to teach the public. And to
right.
be disrespected like this. And to say that I can't be a good teacher because I'm not good and godly enough for them, because
yeah,
I am accepting, because I'm accepting of all of my students. Every single student that walks into my classroom in our public school, we accept them for who they are. That seems more Christian
right.
to me than this agenda that they're pushing.
I'm with you.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm very, very
yeah,
offended.
Yeah, it doesn't
by
make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And again, this is the takeover plan, right? And, you know, I'm still not convinced that they actually have any evidence to say that we are a Christian nation. I know they like to say that. It could be that maybe the majority of people were Christian at one point in time, but really even our forefathers and our founding fathers
mm-hmm.
really did not lay it out that, you know, we need to have a Christian nation.
They actually,
you know,
laid it out
not,
specifically to
yeah.
be the opposite of that.
Pretty much,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
and they're just, you know, that's the misinterpretation of history. I believe they misinterpret the Bible constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's really an abomination that they are, you know, really attempting here, because it drives me nuts. Probably that piece of this is more concerning than anything else to me, that they are doing harm in the name of something that's supposed to be good.
Right.
Anybody can have, you know, any kind of religion in place, and I honor their effort to do that and their ability to do that.
And
but
to,
when that
to other people's children too. So author says,
right.
My children are in private school, but it's my right and my responsibility to change public school where your children go. So,
so they
also
make the children more godly.
Mm-hmm. I guess. And also, they're supposedly for parents' rights. That's what they're claiming right now in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
Parents'
mm-hmm.
rights, parents' rights, except for that's not what they're really for. They're just for their own rights.
To
take away the rights of parents who have children in the public education system. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
so.
And when they claim they're after parent rights, what does that mean? I've yet to hear a good answer to that. So that's something that you can ask locally. When you're talking about you want to stand up for parent rights, what does that mean?
Right.
And, you know, they may say, oh, well, things have to be more transparent. Really? Did you go to a school and did the school say, no, you can't come in here? Did you go to a school and have them say, no, you can't see the books in our library? No,
right.
none of that is happening. Right?
No, it's not. One of the questions I ask when I go up and give a public comment is, how many times has this happened in this school?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, whatever topic, how many times has this happened? And the answer is always
mm-hmm.
just a stare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
well,
it's not happening.
I even found that one of my own family members was trying to share that story about the cat litter boxes. I don't know if you're aware of that, but you know that they're identifying as cats and dogs.
Uh-huh.
That story actually came out of Florida because, I mean, talk about such an insult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Florida, when we had the Marjorie Stoneham Douglas shootings, we had to do lockdown drills after that. We had to do them extensively. And it was probably overkill at the beginning, the amount of, you know, things that we did to try and protect children.
Right.
And during that process, and I know this for a fact because I was a kindergarten teacher, and so, you know, I'm still in all the networks of people that talk in education. And during the impact of all of that change, the kids were wetting their pants in kindergarten and first grade left and right because they didn't have access to a bathroom in their classroom. We're talking, you know, putting kids in lockdown for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, maybe even more. So somebody with a brain said, well, why don't we just have this, like, temporary thing? So they got those big gallon containers, and they put kitty litter in it in case the kids had to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And that has now extrapolated into this huge push against public schools that it's because we want the kids to identify as cats,
right?
And we have cat boxes.
They're claiming this slippery slope that if there are transgender students allowed to use a bathroom, the next thing is we're going to let kids identify as animals and accommodate that. They're trying to make this connection between the two, as if it's some slippery slope.
Isn't.
No, of course.
Yeah, there
not.
Isn't.
And nobody.
The animal thing is from furries,
right,
which was a national thing. And it's that the kids were, like, doing some kind of quirky thing.
Right.
Well, what generation of kids has not done a quirky thing?
Right.
I, unfortunately, have to admit, I wore construction boots. I mean, we're talking heavy-duty construction boots with skirts. So, I mean, it's just something that kids go through. But they've made it into this big, huge thing. And it's because they want to use it in connection to trans students.
Right.
And it's just, it's not even an argument.
No.
And they've made it into that.
I'm sorry, and who is the one sexualizing children? I mean, none of this,
you
know.
Well, wonder, right?
Right, because, I mean, for example, we have a, there is a group here in our county where, you've probably heard of it, what's it called, the Parents? Oh, anyways, it's like Moms for Liberty, but another one.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
they're constantly, we have a trustee at one of our school districts that is instigating this information. So I took a screenshot a couple of days ago. This person posts a YouTube video that is, of course, inflammatory, that says students protest litter boxes in bathrooms. And this public elected official of a school district replies, it's all coming soon.
Yeah, it's all coming out. They're coming
for
you. They're coming for your kids. They're coming. But nobody can show proof of any of this deep state group. Like, I keep asking, who are they? They that are coming for our children, who are they?
Right. Yeah. And I go even further and I say, okay, so what does that mean, sexualizing children?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I hate to break it to them, but human beings are sexual people, right? They're beings that have sexes that they identify with, you know, processes that they go through in their lives. So does having a book about a young girl's, let's say, menstrual cycle, does that mean we're sexualizing her?
Right, and they call it pornography.
That's actually going to happen to her. Yeah,
they call it pornography, which is not the definition of pornography.
Right. No, it's not. So, and I'm a realist. If there's something that is, like, really extreme, I think there does need to be a process for removal of materials.
For sure,
Not an individual that comes up to the, you know, the district with a list of 50 books that they've been told to go object to.
Right.
But if you have a genuine concern, it's just like if my son came home, my son's adult now, but when he was younger, if he came home with a book that was, I don't know, let's just say praising Hitler, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would have taken that book, I would have gone to the school, and I would have lodged a formal complaint about the book.
All right. But our commercial is coming up again. We will be right back.
Sorry, Liz.
And when we come back, we will be taking calls, 605-4567. Please call in if you would like to chat.
when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes? It's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and Internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes Internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
June 8th is your chance to support our veterans. Join Simpson University, Dr. Paul DeNuca, and Josh Parker Real Estate for the Simpson Veteran Success Center Fundraising Gala, featuring John Bardis, founder and chairman of Higher Heroes. You'll be moved by the real stories of Johnny, Ruby, Jess, and Julia. Go to the simpsonu.edu events page to become a sponsor or reserve your table now. That's simpsonu.edu/events.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. We are exposing extremism tonight, talking about Moms for Liberty and the Stop Moms for Liberty movement with founder Liz Mkhitaryan as our guest. Welcome back, Liz. Are you there?
Thank you. I sure am.
Okay. So this is our last segment. We kind of want to wrap it up with, well, some phone calls if anybody wants to call in and ask questions or chat. The number is 530-605-4567, so feel free to call in if you'd like to chat. Also, to talk about, so what can be done here locally in Shasta County. So I do want to talk a little bit about our Stop Moms for Liberty group here in Shasta County. We started that group, I think, over a year ago now. It has about 300, members. You can find us on Facebook. It is an open group that you have to be accepted to. And we're actively working on opposing Moms for Liberty's action here in Shasta County. We believe that public education should be public. We believe in supporting teachers and students and parents all together. I think most of Shasta County agrees with those things. So we're currently actively opposing the candidates for the election.
And there are 70, right around 70 school board member positions coming open that we need to fill.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
A lot.
So we're looking for candidates that, you know, of all different beliefs and walks of life. And, you know,
we want student-centered, community-centered candidates.
Right.
Supporters of the concept of public education. It's something that's under attack right now.
Yeah.
And so we have to find candidates. So we actually have a national process where we're vetting candidates as well, and then we can provide support. I will say that we're not a money involved institution or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I did that strategically. So no money passes the hands of any Stop Moms for Liberty group or member. And we have made partnership with lots of places that do things like training and, you know, try to promote candidacies and so forth. And so a couple of points that I don't want to lose before we close out tonight, but I knew that we were in trouble in the summer of 2022. I spent half the year in Massachusetts and half in Florida. So I left Florida thinking, ooh, now I can relax a little bit. None of this garbage will be going on in Massachusetts because it's just such a liberal state. And I got there, and I was asked to attend a school board meeting, and I literally heard the exact same speech that was given in Florida 1 week prior to that meeting. That's when I knew this is not about parents trying to fight for their rights. This is a scripted, well-planned-out attack.
Yeah.
And, it's just so disingenuous. And, we are connecting the dots of the folks that are on the ground doing the work. We're a vehicle for communication. And so Shasta was actually the first smaller size group to develop from the national push. The first right there in California. And so, you
We're
guys
so
have done a bad
that.
Job with the membership. You should be proud.
Yeah,
yep.
We
now
are.
They're unfolding across the United States.
Yeah.
And so, the national does not prompt the action. We prompt the support, and we provide the resources and the information to our entire membership. So then what happens is it drills down to groups like you have in Shasta, and then you have to determine what you do moving forward based on whatever your local needs are.
Right.
And
looking at what the community needs.
Like best candidates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every community is different. So to use this agenda like they're using it across every state and every county and every community,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work. That every community is different. And to claim that it's because they want autonomy is an oxymoron. Yeah. Yeah, doesn't
make sense. And really, when this all started, right, when I reached out beyond Florida to see what was going on, I did find really strong groups developing everywhere in the country. So there were incredible groups happening in Pennsylvania, in Virginia, in California to some extent, not as much, in Iowa. And what I saw was lacking, which is what we try to provide, is the connections of those that are doing the work. So it's all about collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So your Stop Moms for Liberty group should be connected with other folks that are doing the work. Nobody has to become a member even of your group, although it does make communication easier.
Mm-hmm.
But it's connecting the pushback, because there is pushback. And that's the strength of just having kind of this branding attached to what we're doing, because that was the strength of Moms for Liberty. Everybody identified with this, mantra of, we're the moms and we're for liberty,
mm-hmm.
and the cute matching t-shirts. That's how, I guess, movements develop. You have a recognizable brand. So you're developing your recognizable brand of your Shasta Stop Moms for Liberty. And if it stays focused, as it should, on the elections and so forth, then that's where the real work is happening.
Right.
And I think it's terrific what you're, trying to put out there. And the whole piece of it is sharing information like we're doing tonight, right? And inform the community that what's being told to them is really not truthful. And I always argue, of course all parents should be concerned about their child's education. Of course they should be concerned that there might be something that's inappropriate for their child. Of course they should feel like, that they have some say in what's going on. But that doesn't translate into a small group of people gets to decide the say for all of the rest of us.
Right. Or like
that's when you
our
fly
school
against
board,
democracy.
Yeah, our school board just passed a policy. Well, it's been ongoing for about a year and a half now. To forcibly out students that are non-gender conforming.
I read about that.
And they say that it's because parents have a right to know. Nobody's denying that a parent has a right to know that their child is non-gender conforming. Have a conversation with your child. Be present
Correct.
In your child's life. It is not my responsibility as a teacher to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, not my responsibility.
Well, our first goal is to keep the children in our care safe.
Safe.
And if
exactly.
a child is saying to us, I can't tell my parents, they'll throw me out.
Right.
Then no, that parent doesn't have a right to know. because we are mandatory reporters, first
right.
of all,
right.
as educators, mm-hmm. and how sad that is that parents aren't looking at themselves in this issue and saying, geez, why wouldn't my kid talk to me about something like that? They
okay.
need to develop a more trusting relationship.
Exactly.
Now, granted, even the most open and wonderful parents, kids will be a little bit reluctant, right?
Sure.
But in that scenario, they would go to school. They might talk to a teacher or a counselor or an administrator mm-hmm. and disclose information to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if those professionals are not told that it is unsafe for those kids, those professionals would all say, okay, well, let's find out how we can tell your parents.
Right.
They would help them through that process.
Exactly.
Because it's not easy to come out, right?
So there, we do have a caller. We have
yep.
Chris on the line. Chris, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hey.
We just have a couple minutes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I was just calling to talk about, like, the Community Connect grant, if you guys could touch on that a little bit, and how this would affect that.
Yeah,
and
you mean their denial?
What that would affect.
Their denial yeah. of the Community Connect grant, the community schools
yeah.
grant? Yeah. The so under the guise that somehow there is some deep state connection there, that if we accept community schools grants, then, again, one of the people in the audience who is a Moms for Liberty supporter guy said that there's that slippery slope that then we will be giving abortions in the back of the cafeteria. So, they are denying those grants from the county on that under that guise that somehow that's what we're going to be doing next.
And what would that mean to the school?
Oh, so for our school, that would mean that, like, we have a robotics program that was going to be paid for by that grant that is not going to be happening now. Every community has a community schools grant that they get to use as they see fit for the community. So how that works is the school reaches out to parents and other community members and students, and they survey them and see what the needs are. For some community schools, they use it to do, like, dental screenings and hearing screenings. Some of them have put in computer labs in areas that are really rural.
Food pantries.
Food pantries, clothing, closets, things like that. And, and those funds are being denied by our current school board.
And other, super unfortunate. Does it affect, like, so many kids? It doesn't just affect, like, one of the kids. It affects all the kids.
Oh, all the kids.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Every kid needs services, and those kids need those services.
Absolutely.
Really bad, you know, and especially in, like, you know, situations like North Valley School or Excel Academy. You've got kids with, you know, trauma history. You've got kids with, you know, mm-hmm. social emotional issues. You've
right.
got, and they all need that Community Connect funding in order to be successful in life.
Yes, it's definitely harming those less fortunate the most. The kids who need help more, the families who need help, it's harming them more for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling in, Chris. And
yeah, we got to wrap this up.
We have to wrap this
up.
2 minutes.
Thanks, Chris.
Liz, are you back?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, we had a caller. I'm sorry, you won't be able to hear when we have a caller, but he was talking about the community schools grant and wanting to know how
yes.
that affects all of the students in our county. So
yes.
Shay did a good job of explaining that, but we have 1 minute left, so we need to say goodbye. I just want to thank you so much
okay.
for coming on tonight and informing our community.
Thank you for everything you're doing.
Yeah.
We'll continue
this
conversation.
You're one of the shining stars.
Thank you.
You know, little old Shasta, California, right?
Yes. Thank you, everybody,
yeah.
and we will see you next
All
Tuesday
right.
at 6 p.m. next week. Thanks for listening.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.